Those who live should live no longer for themselves. If you're in Jesus Christ, it says that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Well, who do we live for? But for Him, meaning Jesus, who died for them and rose again.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill teaches part four from his series, Essentials of the Heart. Now, Pastor has titled this next message, The Heart of a Finisher. Now, Pastor.
Turn tonight in your Bibles. We're going to be turning several places, but turn with me right now as we begin to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As I turn there with you, and I'll be there in just a moment. Now, normally on Wednesday nights, as we know, we teach through the Old Testament here at Calvary Chapel. And we left off with loving Leviticus, and we're going to be in Numbers coming up very soon. And I wanted to take a break to just teach what the Lord had been laying on my heart. Speaking of the heart, that's the name of our series, Essentials of the Heart. This is number 4 in a series that we're doing. And tonight I want to talk to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then I'm going to be in John 19, and then I'm going to be in Acts chapter 20. I want to talk to you tonight about the heart of the finisher, the race that we're running and so forth. Now, we have learned on the essentials of the heart, it's very vital and important that we remember as we do a quick review, that the Bible teaches us that our hearts are the center, if you will, of all the operations of human life. In other words, everything in life truly begins in our heart. Good things, unfortunately, bad things. It all begins in the heart of man. And the real person is found there. And remember that we have already learned that above everything, above anything else in life, the Bible commands us, tells us what we need to do in Proverbs 4:23, where it says this. It says, keep, or literally guard your heart with all diligence, meaning above everything else. And it tells us why. For out of the heart spring the issues of life. And life is what we live, and life is a very, very important word. So we know now that we must protect our hearts. I pray that you've been doing that, and you protect your hearts by preparing your hearts with the Word of God. Every action is a heart action. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 15, He said, for these things proceed out of the heart, and talks about murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and all the rest of it. So out of the heart is what defiles or contaminates the whole individual. That's why we have to protect our hearts. And we've learned also that God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus lives and is alive in our hearts tonight. Amen? We're new creations in Christ. Colossians 1:27 tells us that Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we know we have the Lord living in us. We've also obeyed the command to take up His yoke in Matthew 11:29. And we know that the yoke of Christ is His lowly heart, that we see other people the way Jesus sees people. We want to react the way Jesus reacts and so forth, and think the way he thinks. We know that the Holy Spirit of God is the agent, if you will, the person that's working in our hearts, that's transforming us from glory to glory. Amen? From glory to glory. I believe that was last week's message. I may be wrong, but I think it was. From glory to glory into the same image, meaning the image of Jesus Christ, that Christ-likeness, and it happens because the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. So if we are not growing in Christ-likeness, we know that it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. Amen? In other words, if we're not growing, that means we've stopped. Something has stopped us, and we know it's not the Holy Spirit, nor is it the Holy Spirit's fault. It's always going to be a heart issue. It's what we want to allow. In other words, we can resist the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. I left off with this last time, I think. I said, what we do in our present glory is either preventing us from entering or preparing us to enter the next glory. We don't want to be stuck where we are in glory. Amen? We want to move from glory to glory. And we know that only occurs as we follow Jesus. And it's only as we follow Jesus, stepping out in faith in the power of another, that we truly experience the heartbeat of Jesus' own heart. And when we take that yoke, which is the lowly heart of Christ, and we go out into the world and we tell others about Jesus, something happens. That should lead you now to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's begin. Let's look at verse 12 and start there. Paul telling us, the church at Corinth, he says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you." Now look at verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us." Now look at that carefully. Paul is writing, penning this letter. Paul didn't say, "my love for Christ." He did not say, "your love for Christ." He said, the love that Christ has for us, the love of Christ does something to us. It compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. The very heart of Christ does something to us. I'm going to ask you a question. Does Jesus live in your heart? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Yes. Do we have the precious Word of God? Yes, we do. And listen to what happens about the love of Christ. It says it compels us. It does something. That word means it constrains us. It urges us on. It literally overwhelms us. I pray that it does. It means that it leaves us no option, because we realize that Jesus did something. You know, Jesus did not have to die for you. Jesus did not have to die for me. We almost today, especially in America, we have this thing that, well, Jesus had to do that, man. You know, no, he did it of his own volition. He did it willingly. Amen. He laid down his life because he loves us. And now the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that God has given unto us. Romans 5:5. Is that true? Okay, now look at verse 15. "And he died for all." In other words, substitution. He took our place. "That those who live," and we're alive tonight, "those who live should live no longer for themselves." You should underline that in your Bible. If you're in Jesus Christ, it says that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Well, who do we live for? But for him, meaning Jesus, who died for them and rose again. Aren't you glad that our Savior's not dead? That he's alive, that he's with us tonight? The heart of the finisher. Now listen, the heart of the finisher lives for someone else. That's so important that we see that. If we're really going to finish our race, if we're going to finish our calling, if we're going to really walk by faith, if we're really going to live and walk in the power of another, then we have to be a finisher, and we have to live for Jesus Christ. And it's that love of Christ that is ruling and reigning in our hearts. Now that means this: we have no rivals. There's no other rival that we're after. We don't want anything else. In other words, Christ died that we might live, and live only for him and through him. Now, we go on through here in Corinthians. We find out that we're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. But I want you to drop on down to verse 18. It says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." And look how he's done it: through Jesus Christ. And look what's been given. "And has given angels?" No. "Has given just pastors?" No. "Has given all of us," each and every Christian, what? "The ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. In other words, the whole world was reconciled to God, believe it or not, at the cross, because Jesus paid for the sin debt of the entire world. Amen? And he says, reconciling the world to himself. And look what happened. "Not imputing their trespasses to them." In other words, not counting their sins against them. "And has committed," now he's given us something, and now he's committed to us, put into our hands what? "The word of reconciliation." Verse 20, "Now then," look what we are. "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, through his body, through us, each and every believer, through us. Look what Paul says. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is the cry of our Lord and Savior and our God and Father, is to be reconciled to him. Amen? In other words, the debt has been paid, but you have to come and receive that. We all know those things. And so how do we live for him? Well, we live for him by realizing that we, number one, we have the yoke of Christ, which is his lowly heart. But more than that, we realize now that we have a job to do. It says that he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a way back to God. There is a way to God the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. And we take the hand of someone who is lost and say, listen, here's the hand of Jesus, and only Jesus can get you to the Father. Amen? Repent of your sins. He loves you. He died for you. He doesn't want to hold anything against you. If someone's paid for it, why are you running from God? Why are you running from the love of God? It's been given to us and it's been committed unto us. What? The gospel, the good news. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3, the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the good news, amen? He took our sins. I'm going to ask you a question. Now that we're talking about our hearts, we know that everything begins there, and really that's where it all comes from. You know, the issues of life proceed out of the heart. When is the last time, I'm challenging you, I'm loving you. Remember, there's what we call sweet sermons and then the bitter ones, right? Well, there's a balance, all right? I'm challenging you tonight. When is the last time, maybe today, I don't know, maybe yesterday, mine was today, but when was the last time that you sensed in your heart that God was pleading through you? Pleading through you. I remember one night, many years ago actually, there was a young woman who came to my house, and there was many people around her and so forth. I'd never met them before, and she asked me a question. She said, you're a pastor? I said, yes. And I just looked at her, and I could tell her eyes. You know how you can always look those questions, you know? And I said, do you know Jesus Christ? She said, no. And I said, may I tell you how to know him? I was this close to leading her to the Lord. My heart was breaking for that person. And then the interruption came. And she walked out of my door. I never saw her again. You know, God pleading through you, the love of Christ compelling you, constraining you, urging you on. Your heart is breaking for the person in front of you. They're lost. And you know their destiny. You know where they're going to end up if they do not come to Christ. Jesus is saying, God is saying, he says, I am begging you to be reconciled through me, reconciled to God. How is this accomplished? You and me. What is your view of the ministry that God has given you? I'm talking about the heart tonight. I'm talking about the essentials of the heart. I'm talking about the heart of the finisher. You know, Jesus, for example, when Jesus came to this earth, you know, Jesus wasn't born to live. He was born to die. Amen? He came to die on the cross for you and to die for me. And I was thinking today of all that Jesus did, all that he went through just to finish. Say that word with me. Finish. A very important word. Just to finish all that he went through. I started thinking about his birth. And at his birth, isn't it amazing? A baby is born and there is one that wants him dead even at his birth. We know who that was. We know it was the devil, but we know that the devil used someone. Satan used someone. His name was King Herod. Think about it for a minute. King Herod, he wanted to kill God. Do you understand? He didn't know it was God. He wanted to kill God. He wanted to kill the Son of God. Remember what he did there in Matthew's Gospel 2:16? It says that Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was so angry. He went completely out of control. And he sent forth, and here's what he did. He put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and all the districts from 2 years old and under. Isn't that amazing? The first martyrs concerning Christ's birth were little babies, were little children. You think of all Christ endured to finish what he was sent for. Think of the temptation seen by the devil. Imagine being rejected by your own family, rejected by your own creation. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want anything to do, and they rejected the king, their own Messiah. And everything Jesus did from start to finish was absolutely perfect and sinless, and it pleased God the Father. And at the end of his life, right before his crucifixion, right there in the garden, all those that said that they loved him and would follow him and would die for him left him. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, it says that great drops of blood, or like blood, fell from his face to the ground. Think about that for a moment. The agony that he was enduring. Matter of fact, he went to the disciples and he said to them in Matthew 26:38, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." And listen to what Jesus said. He's asking his disciples to do something. He said, "Stay here and watch with me." We know that they didn't, amen? We know that Jesus, the Savior of the world, he's wanting to finish his race, the things that he came to accomplish. The Bible says he fell on his face. Is there something in your heart whenever you see our Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Healer, the Deliverer, the Messiah, he's on his face. He's sweating like great drops of blood. His body is literally being crushed. And he tells the Father, "Oh, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." He goes back to the disciples, and it says in Matthew 26:40, he came to his disciples. He found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, he says, "What?" He screamed it out. That's an exclamation. He says, "What?" He says, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not pray with me 1 hour?" After his arrest, after the Romans finished beating him, after the spittle that was dripping down his face, after the thorns that were placed upon his head, you know, I think about all that, the scourging, the beating, after being made of the sin of the world. Turn to John 19 with me and look at verse 28. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28. It says, "And after this," all the things that I just told you, "after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled," John 19:28, "and he said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put on it hyssop, and put it to his mouth." And listen to what Jesus said. He said, "It is" what? "Finished." I'm talking about the heart of a finisher tonight. Jesus said, "It is finished." The sin debt, our sin debt, mankind's sin debt was paid in full. He says, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Now, I want you to just think just for a moment about the last words of Jesus on the cross and embrace them in your heart. For as he said, "It is finished." And loved one, that is the greatest words ever spoken on planet Earth. Amen. Our sin debt was paid. It was so completely paid, as it says in Micah 7:19, that our sins are buried in the deepest part or the depths of the sea. Or as it says in Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, our transgressions, our sins, they've been removed." It is completely taken care of. Now listen, when Jesus said it is finished, I don't know how to explain that wonderful Greek word like I should, but I can put it into our own everyday thinking. It means this. Jesus said, "I didn't leave any loose ends. I did not leave one unfinished task. I did not have one more word to say." Does that make sense? In other words, he didn't have, "Oh, I forgot to say something," or one of those, "Oh, I wish I had of." No, it wasn't. Now listen, we stand in those words of Jesus. "It is finished." That's where we stand. Now listen very carefully. Do we have the heart, the spirit of his son, Galatians 4:6, living in our hearts? Do we have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts? And out of our hearts come forth the issues of life. Amen? We're to protect our hearts. Listen now. I want you to just try to think about something. Maybe this may be a little bit far-fetched, or maybe I will not explain it accurately to you. You know, sometimes when it comes to revelation, you have to catch it. Amen? In other words, we can know something here, but it has to come alive in here. Amen? And I was looking at that and I said to myself, Jesus, you said it is finished, and I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm a new creation. I know that you're living in me. I know that the Holy Spirit is transforming me. He's changing me into the same image. That's Christ's likeness. That's called sanctification. It's a process. We're from one glory to the next glory to the next glory. But when I saw this, I realized something else. Because all of us go through times when we feel like we're not going to make it. We feel like we just want to give up. We feel like we want to close the blinds at the house or pull the curtains too, and we just want to sit there and take the telephone off the hook or turn off the cell phone and kill the computer or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But then listen, I realized something. We have, because we're new creations in Christ, Jesus, we have his heart, the lowly heart of Christ, because we've taken his yoke. You know what that tells me? It tells me that we have living in our hearts right now the heart of the finisher. Amen? And I started thinking about that, and I'm going, oh, Lord, you live in me. The heart of the finisher living in me. We possess your heart. Turn to Acts chapter 20 now. Watch this. And let's look at, let's just go to verse 17. Now, Acts chapter 20, this is Paul's third missionary journey. And he wants to hurry and get to Jerusalem, hopefully by Pentecost. And then from Jerusalem, he wants to go on to Rome, okay, which he does. Now, look at verse 17. It says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. So he's traveling, and this is a very tender scene here, these men that Paul loves. And he says in verse 18, now watch. He said, and when they had come to him, the elders, they said to him, said to Paul, now look what Paul says. He shares his heart. He says, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. The incredible, consistent life of Paul, the one who said, you know, for me to live is Christ. And he says here, he says, you know, how I lived among you. And look what he was doing, serving the Lord with all what? Humility. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. The word serving there means he was a bond slave. He's serving the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he said, oh, I served the Lord with all humility. And how? He says, oh, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful. In other words, he kept proclaiming the word of God, even though he faced danger. He never gave up. And he said, but I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. So public and private, testifying to Jews and to Greeks, repentance. In other words, that change of heart, change of mind, changing direction. So repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, listen very carefully now. Now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit, now listen, the Holy Spirit works where? In our hearts. The Holy Spirit transforming us from glory to glory. Except the Holy Spirit, and let me add the scripture there, who is working in our hearts, he testifies in every city. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Did Paul resist the Spirit of God? What would you do if you got a word tonight saying, you know what, tomorrow you're going to be going down to Watauga. Okay, nothing against Watauga if you live there. The word sounded scary, but it's okay. And it says, when you get to Watauga, here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow when you arise there, you know what, tribulations and chains. You're going to be put in prison. You're going to go through a horrible time. What would you do if the Holy Spirit was testifying to you city after city, wherever you're going, that's what's going to await you. Listen, Paul went through it. Matter of fact, if we read over in chapter 21, verse 4, and also there verses 10 through 12, we would find out that prophets came up to him and said the same thing. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. If you go there, and he took off the belt. Remember Agabus, he took off his belt and bound himself. This is what awaits you, Paul. And what did Paul say? Are you trying to break my heart?
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program. So please tune in again, won't you? Now, it's always a joy to know that you're listening to the broadcast, and we want to thank you so much. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.